Welcome to the TSN MMA Show Extra. I'm here in Detroit, Michigan, and I've got some great interviews for you from UFC 218 Media Day. First off, we've got the champion Max Holloway. Now, Max is very excited about defending his title for the first time, really. He defeated Jose Aldo, won the official title after holding the interim title, and this will be his first title defense against the longtime king of the featherweight division. So here's Max Holloway at UFC 218 Media Day.
All right, I'm with Max Holloway. We were just talking about your Raptors hat. Yeah. You're a native, like I guess an adopted Torontonian, you call yourself.
Yeah, you know, I love it. You know, around this time last year, they showed nothing but love to me. They stood there. There's a bunch of people from Toronto, but from Canada, telling me they're driving down, hitting me up. So I'm excited, you know. I think so. We're close to sold out for the event, and I'm ready to hear 20,000 plus strong people screaming for me. So I'm excited.
Screaming, let's go Raptors.
Let's go, Max. It'd be great.
Well, as always, it's great to have you here. You know, they keep sending you to these cold weather cities. They've got you in Toronto, Detroit. What are they doing to the Hawaiian?
Man, they're trying to ice my ass. But I bring the heat everywhere I go. You know, I bring that lava. So it's fine. You know, hopefully we can get a UFC away. And if not, put my ass on the Night Island UFC and get me over to Vegas. You know, so. We see what happens, though. I don't mind it. You know, I don't mind. That's how you make new fans, you know. If I didn't fight in Toronto, you know, I would have not had that fans. The fans there love me. Fight in Detroit, the fans here love me. So it's great, man. It's great traveling the world. And I wouldn't think I would be doing anything else, you know.
I think you guys need an online petition to get the UFC to Hawaii. I think you can get millions of people to sign that thing.
Oh, yeah. I think hashtag UFC Hawaii should be great. And I think it's going to happen sooner or later. So I just got to keep doing my job, defending this pretty gold thing here. And hopefully I get it.
Well, you're very young in the sport. You've been doing this for a while. But when you look at the amount of people you've beaten in a row, you've beaten Jose already. And you know, if you beat Jose again, do you think that you're on pace to being potentially the best ever?
You know, that's definitely a long-term goal. I want to be the GOAT, you know. And Jose is the GOAT in our weight division. He was the pound-for-pound in fighting period one time, and that's where I want to be, you know. That's where, of course, it's always in my mind, but, you know, as long as I got a fight book, that person in front of me is on my mind, and that's Jose again, so I'm 0-0 and going for 1-0, one step at a time.
You know, the worst thing that an interviewer can hear is when someone says, it is what it is, but when you say it, it's funny, like, you've given it a new meaning, because
yeah.
It's like, oh, you got to fight Jose Aldo
yeah.
Now, okay, it is what it is.
Yeah, because it is what it is, you know. It's funny, you know. I know I say it a lot. I know you reporters get it a lot, but I think so. I get a little break from it because of that dope ass remix, hot remix on Instagram someone made of me. So shout out to whoever made that video. It was funny, and it's cool, you know, hanging with it. And every time I post something, the first 20 comments is it is what it is. So it's hilarious. I love you guys. Keep it coming.
I think we need to get shirts made. Let's get Reebok on the phone. Some it is what it is shirts.
Oh yeah. We got some made. We got some coming. Don't worry.
Well, it is what it is. You're on a big streak. 11 in a row. Is it now?
11.
Yeah. So you're getting close to breaking the all-time consecutive win streak. Is that something you have your sights set on as well?
Yeah, like I said, that's one of the other goals. You know, I'm here to build my legacy. You know, and that's what I would do. I have a bunch of long-term goals, but as soon as the fight is booked. It's that 0-0, that 1-0, you know, one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. Don't be tripping up. Don't be looking too far ahead, too far back. You know, be here, be now, and that's the plan.
All right, Max, well, it's always a pleasure. Hopefully the next fight's at a warmer climate, maybe Hawaii.
Yeah.
That would be great, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you, boss. You guys have a good one.
There's Max Holloway in the main event of the evening for UFC 218. But in the co-main event, a man who weighed in at the most he's ever weighed, 262 pounds. He's an incredible prospect. Many believe he could be the next heavyweight champion of the world, and that's Francis Ngannou. I had a chance to speak with Francis at Media Day and talk about his upcoming fight against Alistair Overeem, his toughest test to date.
I'm joined now by Francis Ngannou. I see you've got your body armor. You're one of the spokespeople for the brand.
Yes, of course. It's my everyday drink now.
I saw you
get it home. I get it in my car, everywhere. With me.
I saw you were at the Grand Canyon recently. You're doing all kinds of amazing things in your life. Did you ever think that you'd see yourself in a spot where you could get to do all of these fantastic things in your life?
What do you mean about fantastic thing?
Just getting to explore the world and do all the things that you're doing now versus where you were 5-6 years ago.
Yes, that was always my dream. You know, like when you have a lot of things in your mind. when you get a dream, you try to imagine how it's gone, and then yours, like, if one day thing goes well, I would like to do this, I would do that, I like, and then you know a lot of stuff that you like, and basically some stuff like the hiking, walk through the mountain is something that I often do. That, you know, my hometown was like that, so it's like familiar for me.
When you first started training MMA, your opponent Alistair Overeem had already fought 49 times. Do you think that experience matters in the heavyweight division? Does his experience, is that daunting for you?
Because I don't think fight 49 times in life make you strong. Experience is just something different, and then strength is something different, and I'm strength. So I born with it, and I get some summary when I born with it, and then I really believe what I am. I'm a fighter in my life. I don't fight in the octagon before that, but all my life was fighting, and then all is about mental, you know. Yes, and then I did fight in my life.
Now, on Instagram recently, they posted a video of you at the Performance Institute recording the strongest punch ever that they'd ever recorded. When they told you about that, that you were the strongest ever, what was your reaction?
No, I mean, I don't have a good pay too much attention about that because I grew up with that to have in mind I'm strong, you know. We always had a power challenge when we was kid because that was my passion, do stuff, and then I was like stronger, and then kid who was like older than me, 3 years older than me, because the kid who was my age was very small than me, so I always know that, so I always know that and every single one I meet or train with, they were just like, you tough, I never meet some guy like you, you know. So I used to, it's something that done. Okay, the world record is just, I mean, it just seems different because they say world record, but for me, it's nothing that big.
They didn't give me a chance to punch it, so maybe I'm the world record holder.
To be honest, I mean, I never punched that machine. That was like the first or second time, because I really don't think about that kind of machine. I care about my ribs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I really don't like too much talk about that, do that stuff.
So I heard a story, and I want you to tell me if it's true. I heard that before you got your win, you won by a kimura once. Somebody showed you the kimura backstage before the event. You learned it there and then did the kimura in the fight and won that way. Is that true?
No, I don't learn the kimura at the backstage. We learn the kimura and then we repeat it. We practice it at the backstage. You know, like at the backstage sometimes they work through some technical that to remind some technical. Yes, we work that. It's not like I learned the kimura at the backstage.
Okay, so that story is false then.
Yes, it's, I mean, we worked the kimura at the backstage, but I didn't learn it at the backstage.
So after this fight, with a win, title fight, that's the only thing you're after?
Yes, that's the only thing I have in my mind right now.
So there's nobody else you think that you need to beat before you get that title shot?
No, at all. I mean, whoever have that will have that belt, and then I think there are no chance to be somebody else than Stipe. So I don't think about nobody Stipe.
Well, your toughest test to date this weekend, Alistair Overeem. Best of luck to you at UFC 218 here in Detroit, Michigan.
Thank you very much.
There's Francis Ngannou. Now, after speaking with Francis, I got to speak to the two individuals who are in what I think is going to be the best fight of the night, and many others would agree. It's a showcase of violence. Justin Gaethje, the former champion of the World Series of Fighting, against the former Bellator and UFC lightweight champion, Eddie Alvarez. This should be an incredible barn burner of a fight. And if you're going to tune into any fight on this particular card, this should be the one. Really excited about the two coaches of the Ultimate Fighter from the previous season, number, I believe it's season 26, locking horns in what should be an incredible fight in Detroit, Michigan.
All right, I'm here with Justin Gaethje.
Yes, sir.
The award for MMA's most violent is on the line this weekend, according to your opponent, Eddie Alvarez. Yes. Do you buy that?
I hope so. I hope he ain't lying to us. Hope he's not born. I think I already own that distinction.
So you think that Eddie, you know, a concern for you is that Eddie might try some wall install and some takedowns that, I mean, your background's in wrestling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not going
to
faze you.
Yeah, whatever he wants. I'm here to be Eddie. So if he wants to take me down, I'll stop it. And you know, I'm taking his leg home for Christmas. That's for damn sure.
So the finale of The Ultimate Fighter aired yesterday. Nico Montano, obviously, in the finals, fighting tomorrow night. Wow, it's amazing that's happening already. On the show, you coached a lot of different women. Is there anybody that you think has real championship potential outside of Nico that you think can really step up and be a contender?
Roxy's proven herself time and time again. So, yeah, she's definitely up there. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of different girls. You know, but experience is everything. I wouldn't want to throw any of them into a title fight right now. Any of the other ones, I think they all need to take their time, take their fights, and, you know, work their way up, just like all of us had to do. And, you know, it was a blessing that I took as many fights as I did outside of the octagon in order to be prepared enough for my octagon debut and for this fight.
And Eddie kind of had the same experience. You know, Eddie was a champion in Bellator, fought for a long time in lots of different Japanese organizations as well. Do you think that he can kind of relate to your experience here, being on a big stage in a pay-per-view fighting against him?
I think so. I think the pay-per-view money might have got to his head a little bit. But, yeah, fighting is fighting. You know, no matter what level you're fighting at, I mean, there's a potential to get knocked out, and you're going to be fighting someone that's trying to end you and take everything you've ever worked for. So no difference in that aspect. UFC, World Series, Bellator, Sparta Combat League, none of those things. You know, it's all about showing up and seizing the moment.
You mentioned the pay-per-view money might have gone to his head. Are you worried this might not be the best Eddie Alvarez?
No, I'm just saying that he probably doesn't relate to me anymore since he made that big check. Yeah.
Yeah. You got paid well in the World Series of Fighting.
I did get paid well. I did. I didn't get pay-per-view money, though.
That's true. Well, hopefully that's next for you. I mean, right now there's a lot going on with the lightweight division.
Yep.
Do you think that Conor should be relinquishing the belt if he's not going to be fighting in the next couple months?
Well, yeah, I mean, the name of the game, he wants to slap commissioners and push referees, and why don't he come fight the real guys over here that want to take his... I'm looking forward to taking every bit of confidence that guy spews out of his mouth. So, yeah, one day I'll get my chance.
Do you think you will? Do you think he's going to fight again? I know Dana said a couple days ago he's not sure if he ever fights again.
I don't know. Don't care. I can't wait. I can only control the things I can control. I control my preparation, and I can control my effort on Saturday night. Other than that, I can't control who I'll fight next. If I can knock him out in 10 seconds, I still don't get a call. I don't get a say in anything. So I'm going to go out there, give my best effort, and finish as fast as possible.
And at the frenetic pace that you guys fight at, both yourself and Eddie, do you think that there's a shot that this goes three rounds, or do you think this is definitely ending inside the distance?
There's always a shot it goes three rounds, or it goes max. I mean, you know, who knows if one of us is going to land a big shot that puts us out. We both are fighters, and we're both, you know, have a huge will to win, so it's not like we're going to give up. He's not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. So if we don't finish each other, then it's going to go to the judges. That's just the name of the game.
I saw your reaction to Rose winning the title. You said you'd be happier for her winning the title than you winning the title.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why so much love for Rose?
You know, it's different when you're, you know, you, for myself, you know, I know what I deserve. I know I deserve that belt. And I, you know, you can never be sure what someone else deserves, but I've seen her go through the trials and tribulations, overcoming her mind, her mindset, and all those things, you know, put together was just, you know, fantastic to see, fantastic to watch, fantastic to be a part of. So it was cool.
All right, Justin, well, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck this weekend against Eddie.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Enjoy.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was Justin Gaethje, and his opponent for this particular fight will be Eddie Alvarez. He's going to be our last guest. Thanks so much for tuning into the TSN MMA Show Extra. Some great interviews here from UFC 218 Media Day. We've got a ton of content previewing UFC 218 with interviews, analysis, and everything you need for this particular card at www.tsn.ca/UFC. You can follow me on Twitter at Aaron Bronstetter. That's Bronstetter. We appreciate you tuning in. And finally, here is Eddie Alvarez talking about his upcoming fight with Justin Gaethje.
I'm joined by Eddie Alvarez. Now, Justin Gaethje is questioning how violent you are. I don't know if you've heard this. A lot of people are asking you this. What are your thoughts?
He's questioning my ability. Look, my record and my past speaks for itself. I just need someone to push me. I need Justin. I'm not going to lie. I need him. I'm not going to
down this guy. I need him to fight me. If he fights me the way he normally fights guys, shit's going to get crazy. So I need him, is the truth. I need him to be rough with me. I need him to evoke my ego and make this fight a little bit emotional. That's what's going to help the fans win.
I think that you can question a lot of things about Eddie Alvarez, but when you question how violent you are, that's personal.
Yeah, it's personal. I don't take much personally these days. I know who I am. I'm aware of what I'm capable of, and on Saturday it'll show.
Right now, apparently in Vegas, Sejora Eubanks, who you coached, is having trouble making weight. I don't know if it's official yet, whether or not she's going to be on the card. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know how hard she worked throughout the entire show, and how much you really impressed with her striking.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. I think as fighters, we're given 3 months time. We're given a weight that we have to hit, and we have to be disciplined, and we got to make the weight. That's the agreement we make in a contract. So I'm just disappointed. I don't know what went on. I'm going to call Vegas immediately and make sure she's okay. More than anything, I'm just worried about Sejora's health, but I'm just disappointed. We just lost the opportunity for a world title, so it's hard to get back.
I've been told Lauren Murphy's getting the fight. What do you think?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Please, no. If I could think of anyone more undeserving, I would say. I think Barb Honchak should. I think the right thing to do. Barb Honchak gave Nico. That fight was the best fight of the whole season. Nico and Barb Honchak. I think they should do it again. I think Barb Honchak's the only girl in that division who can beat Nico.
When we last spoke, it was early in the show, but you said you saw a lot of girls on the show that you thought could be contenders for that title for a while to come. Who are some names that stand out? I know you mentioned Barb. Sejora and Nico are in the finals. Who else stands out to you?
Deanna Bennett, Barb Honchak, and Sejora. Them three are the biggest standouts to get that world title. Nico, of course, she's in the finals. She's a hell. She's so hard to deal with, and she's so strong. But I think them four girls, I think they're the ones who are on top, can win that title.
You and Justin had a pretty good mutual respect for each other on the show. You know, there was a couple pranks here or there, but nothing really personal. You guys gave each other space, laughed with each other a little bit. But when you think about how you guys were together on the show, is that just mutual respect, knowing how tough both of you are and that really the heat is going to be inside of the octagon rather than out?
Yeah, I mean, it's the the tin can rattles the most, that type thing. Like, it's the guy who's always talking, you know, who's empty, ain't got shit. It's the silent guys you got to watch out for. There's a lot of built-up emotion inside that kind of comes out in action versus words. So, excited. I don't need to say much. We don't need to sell this fight. His past speaks for itself. My past speaks for itself. We're going to collide. Some crazy shit's going to go down. And I think fans are well aware of what we're both capable of.
As you mentioned, the title of MMA's Most Violent will be on the line this Saturday, yourself versus Justin Gaethje. Best of luck with everything here in Detroit, Michigan.
I appreciate it. I created our own title. There's a lot of meaningless titles being tossed around right now. They're not being defended. Other ones are just being made up with guys who are ranked 7 and 8 getting shots of titles. So I created my own. And the only one that's most important right now is the Most Violent. So tune in.
All right, thanks, Eddie.